Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, the King, the Prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. He did what? Loved us. So that's why we call him the lover of our soul. He loves us. That's what you talk about. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. What did Jesus do? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that's the message we take out. Amen. That he loves, and that love made him wash. And that washing has made. So the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has an implication on you. He has made you what? Kings and priests. In the original rendering, it's actually a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. So God has a kingdom, a domain. In that domain, who you are going to find only one type of people there. Who are those people? Priests. God only has priests. That is why we said last week, the kingdom you are in gave you your purpose. Hallelujah. Because God only births priests. Hallelujah. He has made kings. I mean priests. I mean kingdom of priests unto God. So we are priests unto God. What do priests do? Priests serve. So it's clear that by the fact of who you are born again a priest to serve. You can't say you don't know your purpose. No. And the moment you understand your purpose, everything in your life aligns to your purpose. This is where Christians make mistake. They think God is just one part of their lives. No. God is the Lord of your life. When you're born again, that is why your priorities change. He starts to change your desires. Right? Look at it. He says, he has made us kingdom of priests unto God the Father, to the glory of his name. Hallelujah. That is what John will speak about in Revelation chapter 1, that we have been made kingdom of priests. How did Paul talk about it? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Look at it there. Now we are ambassadors. Is there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. Now we are what? Ambassadors of Christ. So king, priests will be ambassadors. Who are ambassadors? Representative of a kingdom. Our kingdom is unseen, but we are seen. In being seen in this kingdom, we are to serve as priests. Not some of us, all of us. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. I always tell you, and that is why we always say the church is the hub. Is the hub of priests, where priests learn how to be priestly. Amen. Church, amen. That's why you know a serious priest, because he turns up to priestly meetings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at it. It says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. God through us is begging the world. Who are we? We are what? Ambassadors for Christ. We already know. We have said it all throughout this week. We have received a ministry of reconciliation. We will not receive a ministry of reconciliation. We have received it. We are ministers. So the minister is the priest. The priest is the ambassador. Can we get a believing amen? Right. And so, you know what? Interestingly, I'll share a couple of things. And then I was praying to the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, how are we going to take over the United Kingdom? How are we going to get the message heard? I was saying, Lord, I want to understand your strategy concerning this thing. What do I tell the social media team? What is this? What is that? Why am I telling you? To let you know that I talk to God about things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What would I tell Dickinson Dick now? What do I tell the brother Toby? Tell me what to tell them. I'm giving an example to show you that I talk to the Lord about everything. So that when you have, I'm not saying they are my issues, but when you have issues, amen, you will talk to the Lord about it. That's the point. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 14. Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a minister of the gospel. You know, and let me start to share. Do not let anything in this world stop you from your ministry. Don't let it. Do not let it. God showed me from scriptures that one of the greatest problems believers have is that they are quick to give an excuse. Listen carefully. Listen. Luke 14. Luke 14. Look at verse 17. And he sent, verse 16. And said he unto them, a parable. A certain man made a great supper. It's a parable. He made a great supper and he bade many. So he made a supper and called many. Please follow. Verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time. Who did he send? His servant. So he did the work and then sent his servant. I'm sure you understand that the servants there will be ministers, priests, okay? He sent his servant to go and call them. What was the message of the servant? Come. Why should they come? For all things are what? Ready. Come over here. Come into the kingdom. That's your rest. That's the wisdom. That's what you need. He told them, come. Look at what? And God was talking to me and telling me that that's the problem of humanity, even some saints. When he said come because all things are ready. Amen. Look at what people did. Verse 18. And they all, with one, are you there? Are you in verse 18? And they all, with one, meaning they were in agreement to go in this direction. It's called the direction of excuse. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Did you notice that is buying a piece of land a bad thing? No. But he's trying to say, don't even let legitimate things stop you from the kingdom. Be that man that is ready to eliminate excuses if you will enjoy all that God has prepared for you. Now, while I'm talking about the evangelist, I'm going to rub it in two, but because this also happens to believers. A lot of things people are really shouting about. If they followed God's plan, they'll meet it on the way. But they're trying to get it by themselves. And they would make excuses. And God is saying, the problem is your excuse. That's where the problem is. Look at the second guy. The second guy said in verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Look at it. I want to go and test them. Yoke of oxen are animals that they use on the farm. I want to go test them. I want to go walk. Look at it. He says, let me, I pray, let me be excused. That's the second guy. God had already said, all things are ready. What are people doing? They are giving excuse. You think you love yourself more than God? You don't. You don't. Amen. Look at the third guy. The third guy said, verse 20, I am married. I just married a wife. Let me be. Is marriage a bad thing? No, but it should never be an excuse. God is trying to show you people will use logical things to excuse themselves from that which God had already prepared for them, that is already good for them. Imagine a man without life. He's talking about oxen. You see how funny it is? A man doesn't have eternal life. He's talking about marriage. is seeing marriage as the big deal. Who are we in that parable? A servant. But why am I sharing it with you today? This, why are you a servant? You are the one to go and tell them all things are ready. Eternal life is there. You've got it. But God actually told me, do you even know that believers are also very, very into making excuses? So tell them. Are you hearing me? Yeah. It's, I just got married. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed the Lord. What's going on, Lord? You asked me to go out. People are making excuses. Look at what the Lord said. Because I asked this question when I was having a dialogue with the Lord, and the Lord was saying to me how we should move, you know, get the word to people. And so the Lord said, look, so verse 21. So the servant came back and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets. Someone say, into the streets. And lanes of the city. Say, lanes of the city. So God said, as a servant, go out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go to the lane, go to the streets where people are. Go to the lanes. Because I was trying to say, Lord, oh Lord, you know what? How are we gonna go about this? He said, go, it's my will. Go to the city. Go to the lanes of the city. Look at it there. He says, go to the city, go to the streets. Bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, bring in the halt, bring in the blind. Go to where people have needs and bring them in. Let them know that the power of God is real. Amen. Church, amen. Go to where people are. Go to the people that have got needs and bring them in. Look at it. Look at verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. I have done what you have commanded, but there is still room. Say, I'm an evangelist. I go. Right now, look at verse 21 again. He said, go out quickly into the streets. It's a matter of urgency. Go to the high lanes. We are to get out there. We are to go to where people are. Can we get a believing amen? Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, since there is still more room. Obviously, there's more room. Go, verse 23. Go out into the highways. Go to the hedges. Where it looks like people will not be. Go there. He said, go to the streets, go to the cities. Okay, there are people there. He said, oh, go to the edges. Go to the lanes. Go to the highway. Go everywhere. When you hear our media strategy, it will fear you. I've heard from God. I'm as bold as a lion. Come on. Look at it. He said, go and compel them. Meaning, spare no cost. That all the house may be filled. Verse 24. For I say unto you. He said, now said, for I say unto you, none of the men which were beating shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitude with him and turned and said unto the Lord, look at this. Verse 26, if a man comes to me, the message is changing now. Listen. We've told you the strategy. We are going everywhere. Where people are, where they are not. We have ended that. He's now saying to the disciples, to the servant that is to go. He said there's a criteria. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said there's a criteria. The people that will keep going. You know, they said go to the street. The man went. He came back. He said there's more. Go to the highway. He went. He came back. Go. You know, this going. It's not all everybody that will really go. There is a character and a mindset for those that will go. Look at it. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, that word in the Greek is, when he compares to me, nothing else is next. He says, and he comes to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his brethren, his children, yea, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. Meaning that the people that will be used of God will be people who put him first. And will not use excuses of this earthly world as a limitation for them not to serve. See, this is hard meat tonight, but it's because we want to conclude this series. Because you have heard, sir, Ministry of Reconciliation, people can come back tomorrow. I am saying that you have heard the message. You know what to do. God is now saying, listen, the way it will work is that this man, nothing else compares. And if you're understanding what I'm saying, he's saying that man is not a man of excuse. In the world he's living in, he's not a man of excuse. You know, well, the reason why. Are you hearing me? Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me. Meaning, is, you know, when we start off, when you're a baby, we tell you God loves you. Is that a lie? It's true. It's not a bit to get into the kingdom and say, now that you are in, we'll show you. No. It's the fact that when a child is born, we give them breast milk. But you cannot be giving a 14-year-old guy breast milk. He needs meat. That's the level of disciples. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then they are not telling you, listen, oh, you are born again. We're feeding you. You're giving excuses. Oh, you're a child. Yeah, that's the level of Zoe, right? And then the level of, but when we're talking about, as long, the truth is that as long if you took the breast milk well, you should reject it after a while. Praise God. Meaning you should want more. It's a symptom that you have taken it as you ought to take it. Praise God. Praise God. He now says, you see, like, if you do not, he says, father, mother, brother, brethren, sisters, everybody. He says, if you will not carry your cross and fully, meaning that it's not saying that you will not have things that is happening to you in this world, but Jesus is still number one. Follow me. Are you getting the point? Church, are you getting the point? Remember the parable. All things are ready. Amen. Church, amen. He says this matter of discipleship is something you will meditate on. You will call a family meeting with yourself. Amen. He said, who is it? That look at verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower will not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Less happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it and build, he begin to mock him. They will be saying about that guy, you know, have you heard some guys, you know, you hear a message from Pastor D, or Deacon Sadiq, or Deacon Diola, or Deacon Tosin, you say, ah, I'm an evangelist. We are going to the world. Oh, my God. Listen, social media, I'm going everywhere, on the streets, everywhere. We are going. January, February, your friends are saying, wow, this fire is firing. I want to be like Fola, this new grace. We see Fola in June. This life. Hey, God. Fola, what happened? Well, you see, Fola becomes a philosopher. So what is he talking about? He said you would sit down. You would talk, you would think about it. He said, no matter what it is, I have decided. This lady can sing. To follow Jesus. I have decided, no matter the cost, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know, when I was in the world, I know people like stories. When I was in the world, I had my life planned out. I knew who I wanted to marry when I was in the world. I'd already, you know, they were already calling me in-law in a house. Manifesto, everything. I have decided. I was 18. They're already calling me in-law. If I had my chance, we'd be wearing clothes together. And I got born again. And before I started to hear that there were steps to hear God, me, I used to hear God. So God would tell me, do this, do that, and all of that, you know. I mean, at the time, I told my parents to buy me a big car so that I could carry people from the fellowship home. I'll carry them, I'll drop them by a passerby. I'll be driving. And one day, the fuel, I'm going somewhere, the fuel was very low. I said, let me still drop that sister. I dropped the sister left like this. As I just moved, the car died. Ha. I said, God, it's your work I'm doing. I'm going somewhere to my story, my real story. I'm just telling you that I hear God. And I called some people to come and help me. They are called area boys. I didn't know that with area boys, in where I come from, you must give them money. They pushed the car for me. The car didn't start. They said that my money is some money that even if I worked, I could not get it in a month. I knew that there was trouble. And the car was dead right there. And they were going to harass me. The Lord just said, speak to the car and let it move now. I said, hey, we can do that in this kingdom. He said, yeah. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Volvo, move. Phew. The car started view. I said, hey, I like this kingdom. You know, with my last bar, I called my brother. I don't have fuel. Please, can you come? By the time I got home, he was still just wearing his clothes. He said, I thought you said you were stranded. I said, the Lord told me how to start the car. He said, are you normal? Now, supernatural life. But guess what? I mean, I hear God. It was God that told me I could do that. Then, that same God now told me, you know, I was liking everything about the kingdom. God now said, that girl you want to marry, break up with her. I said, me, in-law. Lord, say another one. If you want to give, if you want me to give you money, I'll give you money. Say, that lady. I said, okay, no problem. I told the lady on my birthday, I said, come, we're going for dinner. I said, Lord. And as I was talking, you know, because I just got born again. And I didn't, you know, while I knew that he loved me so much, I did not know how much he gave himself for me. You know what I was telling God? I was like, yeah, I'll break up with her. But I said, Lord, between you and I, let this be the very last time you would ever, ever ask me if I love you. This breakup is the proof that I love you. Compared to what he did for me, someone died for me, I said, break up. Looking back now, God, sorry. Amen. I just, man of God. So I just want to tell you that it's over. I'm not doing it again. I love that. She was like, he plays a lot. He's just joking. He let's eat food. She ordered, she ate, we left. I went home, I was crying. I was like, God, which kind of cross is this? You know, auntie, I stopped picking her cousin stuff. But my point is that I think personally, that's the most difficult thing I've done in my life. All these things that God says that we should do, give money, I don't even think it's an issue. The only thing that I've done for God, I still think I've done it for God, is to break up that lady. Amen. But my point is, that was a qualification to be a disciple. Nothing comes close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said all that to say that. Nothing. Say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Now look at the scriptures. Why do we go with this message? We go with this message because it is the only message that can save. Acts 4 verse 12. There is only one name given amongst men whereby men can be saved. Can we get a believing amen? There is only one message, only one name, only one authority. That is why we go with the message. Praise God. Church, praise God. What will the word set you up to do? The word will set you up not to go with the message. Acts 4. You just read Acts 4:12. So you can be in Acts 4:17. I'm saying all the things I want to say very quick today, but you will get in the point. The world and its system is antichrist. So what will an antichrist system do? Choke the things of Christ. What should you know? You are a priest in the kingdom of Christ. So the world system is calculated to frustrate your ministry. Amen? And that's why later you're going to get to the crux of what I'm talking about. You must know this so that you are radical. Radical with all that we've got. I'm going to get there. Look at Acts 4:17. But that it spread no further amongst the people. Let us straightly threaten them. What did they do? They are to do what? Threaten them. That they speak henceforth no man in that name. Threaten them. So things will come against you so that you will not do what you're meant to do. What is it to do? It is to threaten you. Look at verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, you must have an answer. Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? The things of this world, when we say straighten, they say, oh, well, thank God, the system, no one has come to my house before to knock. I say, hello, you. We are threatening you. No. The system of this world will threaten you with different ways. In different countries, I realize it's different systems. But the Antichrist system is there to threaten, to just ensure that you are not to do what you're supposed to do. You must understand it. So you are waiting for someone to knock on your door in this country. Nobody is knocking, but there are principalities, systems, structures, institutionalized. Or you think it's a joke? From Monday to Friday, they give you normal pay. On Sunday, they say double plus one. You said that it is prosperity. Ah, it's slavery. So that you don't go to church. You didn't see it. You're like, more money. All things are ready. Come here. Seek ye first the kingdom. Don't follow the trap. The trap is clear. It's there. It is a trap. That's why it's trappy. Amen. It's a trap. If they want to trap someone like me now, you can't put sushi. You put plantain. Amen. You can't put sushi. That's Sister Diola's level. What's my own? That's me. No, I'll be whistling by your temptation. Put plantain. You will see that even men of God have a point. Amen. That's the point. It's trappy. You don't have money. What will the system do? Choke it in such a way that it is money they will use to try to. You will not be analyzing like, well, God knows my heart. God says I love him. God knows I care about him. But see, man, make the things of this world appealing. Gucci and Versace. You want to wear them. There's nothing wrong with it, but don't fall for the trap. It's very, in this system, it is robust. If you don't feel it already, maybe you are not smelling the shawarma. It is robust in the system. It's there. Amen. So they threaten them. Do not teach or speak in the name. And verse 19, they had an answer. But John and Peter answered and said unto him, whether it is right in the sight of God. So how does the priest evaluate what to do? Is it right in the sight of God? Whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken to you than to hearken to God, you judge. Look at verse 20. For we cannot. Are you hearing what this guy said? For we cannot but speak of the things we have seen and we have heard. We can't. You cannot stop us. They said we are going to threaten you. You cannot stop us. They put them in jail. You cannot stop us. They put them in jail. Angel came, opened the prison, said go. You cannot stop. See, you can't stop a man that is a disciple of Jesus. You can't. You want to use money to stop him? No, you realize. I always tell people, you realize that if a rodent, antelope, if human beings, believers have become very, very stingy, and you know, if it is a rodent that needs to bring what we need, it will come. But you cannot stop us. Hallelujah. This is not motivation. It's life. There was a time the Lord said, okay, it's time to leave what you're doing. I've told you many, many times. I'm going to do something else. What will I eat? What will I eat? He says, no problem. That's when I realized that there was nothing. Caris was 1 year old then. There was nothing. Caris needed to eat. And someone came and said, God said we should give you this cornflakes. This at that time, you know, sometimes you boast in your savings. This country will humble your savings. After 3 months of your savings, you realize that your savings was a weak one. Amen? So you say, cornflakes, this, that. God just said we should bring it to you. You know, at that time, my daughter Madeline was living with us. My daughter Esther was living with us. And there was nothing. But we had heard God. We had heard. But I knew. If I am stranded, it's a disgrace to him. I knew! Ha! Glory to God. That is why this weak Christianity gets nobody anywhere. You will be struggling. You will just be struggling. But there is someone you can bank on. And the fact is not about what he gives, it's about the privilege to be on his side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come off it. Come off this whole bandwagon of you are not a weak Christian. You are a priest. A priest in this kingdom. You are a priest. You are not a nobody. There was a time Joshua was fighting a war as a priest. He said, let the sun stop at the Mount of Ajalon. You know you are a priest, but you don't know who you are. You said, let it stop now. I am still fighting. How can it become dark when I'm fighting? Go and read it. It's in the book of Joshua.
And the Bible says, then did the Lord hear the voice of a man, and the moon stopped. We are bigger than what we think. There is someone who has commissioned us. We are ambassadors. We are working on a system that is different. Don't let excuses disenfranchise you from the greatness of your kingdom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If they commanded them, listen, when they said, do not preach again in this name, they said, no, we will preach. When they said, we will frustrate you, what did the disciples do? When they told them not to preach again, you know, the disciples did not say, oh Lord, help us and ensure that they not get us into trouble. No, they gathered together. Someone say together. In one accord. And they lifted their voice. Brother, as an evangelist, there's a power you have that you may not know. It is called P-R-A-Y-E-Y-R. When you engage that thing as an evangelist, as a man on a mission, look at what they did. Look at what they did. Look, we are still in Acts 4. Amen. Acts 4. We are in verse 24. And when they heard that, what did they hear? They told them that they should not preach. And even the persecution was coming from organized church of the day, the synagogue. Look at what it said. The Bible says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they prayed. Bro, when there are issues facing you doing what you should do, engage that thing that we have. It's called prayer. Praise God. Daniel was a man, even in Babylon. They made a strange law. Come and interpret a dream. That I'm not going to tell you the dream. Just interpret it. He said, don't worry. There is a God that we will pray to. And he will tell us this thing. He prayed and slept. You know, it is. They said they would kill him the next morning. He still slept. You know, it's because you know maybe that something will happen. That's why you sleep. And in the night vision, in the night, the Lord told him the dream that the man dreamt. And the interpretation of it. Daniel. You are a priest. Ha! A priest! What did they pray about? Look at verse 29. And Lord, behold, they are threatening. We are not ignoring that they are threatening us. But grant unto thy servants with all boldness. Do you see there? That we may do what? Speak thy word. When they threaten them, they say, Lord, make us more bold. And let there be signs and wonders. Look at verse 30. And stretch forth thy hand as signs and wonders. In the name of Jehovah. When we got into the city of Glasgow, many years ago, it was 2013, I think, or 12. We got into the city of Glasgow. And we're talking about the love of God, the grace of God. You see people in the auditorium. Come and be going. It's boring. Ha. Ah. Say, Lord, your word said you confirm it with signs and wonders. Lord, as we go, we just say Jesus is here. Let things just be scattering in the meeting. Ha ha! God loves those kind of things. We pray, okay, we went. The next time, I still was ministering like this. Somebody came in, I see the story all the time, with a broken hand. Life service, broken hand. I said, bring her. Mommy Anulika, bring her. Everybody was looking at me. I just married my wife then. She was like, ha! Ah, hey, if the hand does not set up with camera, life service, he has become a false preacher. When did we marry? Bring her! I said, everybody watch. I said, cameraman, face the, because I'm very, me that I broke up with my girlfriend because of Jesus. I'm ready to embarrass him. Let everybody say who? I'll say, yeah. Did I not tell you God? Me, I'm not. Do you know who I am? I'm a messenger. If there's no message, I'm mute. I said, okay, put it on him. We just said Jesus can heal. Put the camera on her in the name of Jesus. We're all looking. Hand, enter. And you will have thought, we just said, kunkra. Eh? You must have said, I'm free. Even me said, you are free? On camera. I said, yes, I'm free. Glory to God. That's what he said. Glory to God of Jehovah. Glory to God of Jehovah.
Amen. Amen. Signs and wonders. It will stop people. A man with a heart, a hole in his heart, diabetes, short leg, lung problem, came into the meeting. Camera, again, on him. Put it on him. The man whispered and said, "Oh Lord, let God just I want to be very nice. Let God just take only one of these diseases. Just one and I'll be fine. This pain is too much." I said, "You know what? I'm sure if God took four of all these whole four diseases, you know the light in heaven will go off." He said, he didn't get the joke. He went over his head. I said, "It doesn't cause God anything to take the four of them. You know what? Just to show you it's very easy, we won't even pray. Your leg is working now." He said, "I can walk." I said, "Cameraman, are you ready to follow us?" That time we know about this cord. The guy was carrying camera. I said, "Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ." They came with a long thing that makes people breathe. Stops. Your heart is now there. New lung. New this, new that. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk now. The Polish man was married to a Nigerian woman. That's how they came around. Free. What did they pray? Signs and wonders. You know, people have been doing like this to you talking. There was a time I was with somebody. I was trying to talk to them about the gospel. I said, "Your two legs, one of them is short. In the name of Jesus Christ, it comes out." It came out in front of her. I was telling the story to Madeline. Madeline to her the short leg. In the name of Jesus Christ. What I was telling her the story. I was telling my dad about the story of the woman with the short leg. And then Madeline. And then we're like, "It's like, sir, you may have a short leg." Power! Amen. Because you're a priest. He says, pray. Signs and wonders. Following as we go. Signs. So, what are you praying? Signs and wonders. Hate natural. Want supernatural. Desire it. In the town you are in, you need the supernatural. Can we get a believing amen? Yeah. Yeah, they prayed, "Father, in the name of Jesus." Signs and wonders, miracles. They prayed. Amen. Amen. Remember, the Bible says they were trying to stop them not to spread the message. They prayed. The next one we'll be talking about today. They gave. Listen. Just like your life has a purpose, your finances have a purpose. Can we get a believing amen? You know, a lot of people always wonder, you know? A lot of people always wonder how. It was not a gift of the Spirit. How nowadays you are watching movies, man and man are kissing. Women and women are kissing in almost every soap opera. Do you think the homosexuals just went there and said, "Hi, sir, our name is Bola and Tola. We just want you to feature us in this, your movie." No, they sponsored it. That's what's happening. Agendas. You're there. You're just thinking that, no, it's by and by. Agendas. Look at the children's stuff now. Look at what's going on. You think people just came and just said, "Well, we don't, hello." You think it's a placard. They went, they bought the whole station. Determine what is happening. And we're saying, "Oh God." See, listen. We will preach, we will pray, and we will spend. And we will do all of that radically. If not, we stop complaining. Stop saying, "Oh, what's happening in this world?" Who is defining all that is happening? People buy on this. How did the system change from people all clothed up in the 1960s to now? Nowadays, women are dressing almost half naked. You think you just say, "Yeah." Someone just come and say, "Please, but we just want to beg you. We are M&S or Q&S. We just think that if you put this skirt in your film, it will take." No. They take it over. They buy it up. That's what you call agenda setting. You set the agenda as if nothing's happening, and that's the norm. That's what happens. If you will be in this world, you would have to actually have the prayer, the preaching, and the exposure. And the exposure will take money. And guess what? God always provides for the temple that he's building. Let's look at Exodus 11, verse 1. Exodus 11, verse 1. Ooh, is someone being blessed here today? Exodus 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let your people go. When he shall let you go, he shall trust you altogether. Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people. Let them borrow of his neighbor and every man of their neighbor jewels, silver, and gold. Look at verse 3. And the Lord gave the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So God provided for the Israelites. Look at verse 12 when it actually happened. Look at Exodus 12. Look at verse 35. Okay. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the, are you there? And the Lord gave the people what? Favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they lent them so much as they required. And they did what? They spoiled. Do you know what I mean of spoiled? They took the wealth of the Egyptians. You would have wondered why. Why did God do this? Because you need to understand that in our kingdom, our money has purpose. Look at Exodus 25. Exodus 25. So they took all the gold, all the silver, all the things of the Israelites, and they went out. Look at Exodus 25. Those people that he gave stuff to. In Exodus 25, what did he now say? Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of that they bring me an of every man that give it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. What's the first thing there? The next thing there. The next thing there. Where did they get it from? They got it from the Egyptians. Who gave it to them? How did he give it to them? By favoring them that they will get it. What is God's agenda? God will help you. In his helping you understand that it is for the kingdom. He say, what is it for? Look at verse 8. I want you to see it for yourself. Exodus 25. Gold, silver, brass. Look at verse 8. What are they to use to do, use it to do? Let them make me a sanctuary. So when God in Exodus 11 told them to borrow, did he tell them it was for the sanctuary? No. But when you read through the scriptures, you know the reason why. While they would have enjoyed some of those things, praise God, the original purpose of that thing was the sanctuary. Amen. Amen. So the idea is, while God, you are a priest, it is your agenda to radicalize the world for Jesus. How will that happen? You know when he says go to the streets, I'm talking go to billboards. I'm saying go online and be on every blog. There is a Christian blog where they are just hearing Jesus is Lord. They are hearing all our messages. They are hearing our confession. We take over TV. We go everywhere. When we say we are done, God will say, go again to the edges and the highway. So, and that's what, and guess what? God's finances, the Bible tells us, he gave it to them. But if there is covetousness and there is selfishness, would it happen? No. Would they have built the sanctuary? No. Was it God's plan? No, that's why I laugh at people today. When we are talking about tithing and they are struggling. Believer, please, let me just say it clearly. Have a budgeting system. Can I get a believing amen? The Bible, Christocentric Bible, tells you to set apart for the Lord. So that you will not just be saying, see agendas, see agendas. Nowadays, homosexuality people, if they want to do anything, they can do it. Believers in local church, they will be praying to buy building, praying to be on TV, praying. The people that are not praying are on TV. Are you getting? I hope this tears you up somewhere. There's an agenda. Your purpose is clear. The agenda is clear. People that are not praying are having more exposure. It should get you angry. Because we are to go to the streets. Go to the highway. How then do we reach the streets and the highway? God will open the doors. We are also in this age supposed to go financially. So set up your life. Believe God. Set up your life. And you know, say, Lord, when I have a lot of money, I'm going to do great things for you. Bro. Now. Now, where you are. He that is faithful in little is the one that is faithful in much. Amen. You know, you cannot give one out of 25. You say you give God 2 billion. Even you and God to say limau. You know that's a joke. You know we are, come on, Fola. That's God talking to you now. Come on now. Oh yeah, tell me your real mind. Amen. Praise God. So set up yourself. Set it up intentionally. God's system is clear. God will provide for his temple. How he will provide for his temple is through his people. Clearly. Even in the Old Testament, they had hard hearts. They said if you set up 10. Believers are struggling with 10 today. The thing that my pastor came about. He said believers, most believers are doing 1%. One. Even the one with the hardened heart, you have the spirit of God. Even the one with the hardened heart will be saying, fear God. Hardened heart will be telling you, fear God. 1.82%. Come on. And then we say, prayer warrior, the gospel will move. It will transcend. It will overmove. Bro, we hear, we know, we are praying. The Christian responsibility is praying, preaching and giving. Is there? If you don't do one, it will look like you are not doing the others. Amen. Have you ever tried riding bicycle with one leg? Praise God. Have you ever tried driving a car? Right? That is a manual without clutch. You may not understand it if you have not driven it before. You will not be able to change gear. Bro, change it to gear 2 because it's not automatic. You can't change. You are just there at that level. That is the same thing. A lot of Christocentrics are here. Say, no, we love God. Yeah, we love God, but God understands. They're all very understanding in prayer. We love God. We love God. And the things of God are not moving. Praise God. Look at what the Bible says. Look at it. We're concluding now. First, okay, I've got 7 more minutes. That's very generous. First Corinthians 16. What God wants to do, he provides for. Except men stop it through covetousness and self-centeredness. And like we are concluding saying, listen, you know you're a preacher. You know you're a prayer man. You are also a giver, sacrificial giving. Praise the Lord. That we are not going to rest until the hidden hear our voice. We take over the children's program because we have our own programs that will train them in godliness. It has to do with money. We take over on the airwaves, preaching of the gospel. Some will not hear unless we go on TV. Some will not hear unless we go to the radio. Some will not hear unless we go to social media. Some will not hear unless we go to Twitter. Some will not hear until you drag their ear. All of them together we are doing. Praise God. Some will not hear until you say, you know what, in my church, after the word of God, you know, we serve rice. They come, they hear God's word, then you take them to KFC. So go and eat rice and put vegetables there. So you are about their health. Amen? Just do something. You cannot just say, hey, we are moving. The nation is going. The gospel is moving. You got to. Amen. Praise God. You have to be part of a local church. Praying, walking, giving. Amen? And set up systems so that there's no embezzlement. Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. We can close. I have 5 more minutes. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order. Someone say, giving order. To the churches of Galatia. So it was an order. Even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, every one of you labor in store as God has prospered you. How do you labor? As God has prospered you. Some will say, God is in the italic, so it was not in the original. As has prospered you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As has prospered you. The point is, so the believer has discipline. The first person he sets aside when he earns money, the first person he sets aside when he earns money is the kingdom. Learn it as a practice. The Bible says, when on the first day, you must have budgets. The believer must have a budget. Praise God. Church, praise God. See, as God has prospered you, listen, how do you lay aside? Church, how do you lay aside? As God has prospered you. So if God has prospered for, because I want to break it down. People say God does not look at things in percentages. He actually does. It's just that your mind doesn't want to take it. As God has prospered you, so for example, God has prospered Fola more than she has prospered me. Should I be giving more than Fola? No. Fola should give more than me because God has prospered her. Are you hearing? That's it. So that you get it, the Bible says some people were going to give. A man came and gave a lot of money. Another woman came and gave a widow's mite. God said the woman that gave a widow's mind gave more. And you say God doesn't look at percentages. He didn't read your Bible. You just don't want to give. He looks at percentages. As God has prospered you. So set it up clear. Why? All things are ready. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying that's why you should do it. I'm just about to close the service. You can decide to edit this one out. I've been following God, even as a minister. I lie not to you. As a minister of the gospel for 17 years. Where I am, I'm not bragging. I couldn't have gotten there where I am. They were asking me yesterday, what do you want for your next birthday? I said, God, I'm so blessed. I don't need anything. There is nothing I actually need. Apart from the fact that one of the blessedness of giving is that God blesses you with contentment. But as I said, if I was to pray, I wanted to say, if I was to pray, if I was to pray, there is no way I can be where I am today if I was to pray. All things are ready. Don't follow the rat race. Why? God's kingdom, if you're a minister and a priest, God's kingdom is your priority. It is your priority. You put it first. You set up your finances that way. When you set up your finances that way, when you set it up that way, it is a way to show I trust God. You know something? I've realized that outside saying, there are things you do to show that you actually love the Lord. You say, I love the Lord. God says, the way you deal with others is how I know that you love the Lord. Say, I love the kingdom of God. I love what concerns you. How you deal in the local church. How you deal with expanding the kingdom. Is it your concern? That's how we really know. You can listen, like I always say, let me put this one in. You can't say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And you're coming late to church. It doesn't go. Because we know when you go to your boyfriend's house, you are checking time. Listen, that's why I said, let God engulf your heart with passion. Amen? You know these things. Some of us need to go and pray and say, oh Lord, that my eyes of understanding will be enlightened. I want to go deeper in my love for you because you know when, if they say there's a shift that they are paying £42 an hour, you will get there at 3 a.m. Service, the meeting, the church service, or what is that? The whole walk is 8 a.m. You have already woken up. You've ironed your clothes 3:35. You're already saying today is a good day. You are wrestling with covetousness. They say, come to church. ATM service. In this country that is cold, you are wrestling with things bigger than you. You are to go for retreat before retreat. I'm telling you, because at the end of the day, you can't see the demon. I can. Why? Listen, what was the problem in the book of Revelation for the church of Ephesus? It says they've forgotten their first love. He broke the heart of God. He said, repent. Because you know he sees all things. He said, you have forgotten your faith. Go back to the passion. God, can you remember when you first got born again? 3 hours you are there. Someone said, Pastor, that's not me. Well, where did you get born again? When you got first born again, it was burning. Now, why? Go back. You can. You're born again. You're God's priest. God is looking out to you. Rise upon your feet. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the month of October. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together to hear your word in its precision and with utterance. And we pray in the name. I want everyone here to pray. Let God, that your heart is responsive. There is a part in this message that concerns you. We just have 1 minute for you to pray, please. Just pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that thing that you are called, kingdom of priests, that priestly ministry in its dimensions of service, in its dimensions of prayer, in its dimensions of preaching, in its dimensions of giving, that priestly ministry, in the name of Jesus, you go further. It doesn't matter where you are now. There is a further you can go. Come on, let us pray as we conclude tonight. In the name of, this is a correction, it's a rebuke, it's an admonition, it's an instruction. God is speaking to all of us. Amen. Oh, you're going to pray. Oh, no more excuses. These excuses that I give that always excuses me from the things of God. No more. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. Oh, we give you the glory. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this message that we have heard, it will burn in the hearts of the hearers. They will go back and meditate. They will have action plans. They will go back and actually make major turnaround decisions to the glory and praise of your name. That the kingdom of God will be expanding and expanding and expanding because of the decisions of these ones here. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, and the saints say, I call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. And all your needs are met. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, amen.